Hello and welcome along. Yes, it's Friday and it's another tipping show. It's the From the Horse's Mouth podcast and the jumps are well and truly back in action. We had lots to look at during the week and Cheltenham is back this weekend with the showcase meeting and a man simply synonymous with Cheltenham. He's had so much success there. I'm delighted to welcome Frank Hickey to the show. Frank, how are you?
Very good, Tom. Really enjoyed that introduction. I was just trying to think of all the winners I've backed over the years there.
And Ruby, you're with us as well. How are things?
Good, Tom. Yourself?
I'm absolutely flying it. It's Friday. How could you not be in good form, even though we're all under lock and key? But we had lots to enjoy during the week. Tiger Roll made his return on the flat. I'd say that's a nice run that Gordon would be very happy with. And a couple of decent flat races during the week. Frank, anything catch your eye? Protectorat got a lot of tongues wagging up in Carlisle. A good return for the Skeletons.
He jumped really well. The one I suppose that really caught my eye was Bear Gills in Lingfield yesterday for Nicky Martin. Won his bumper last year, worked very impressively. Always wondering how he'll take the hurdles. He did plenty wrong yesterday, was keen and was quite keen throughout the race, but he's some engine. Absolute Hames of the last and still won going away. And it looked a really good maiden hurdle as well, even though it was Lingfield. There was four or five horses in there that had won bumpers or run really well in bumpers and maiden hurdles previously. So yeah, he's the one to take from this week so far, I think, Bear Gills.
Ruby, the jumps season is really starting to rock and roll in Ireland now as well. You see better horses starting to appear with every day, and we're building up to kind of Down Royal next weekend. It'll be probably the real kickoff point for a lot of big trainers. Anything in the next couple of days to keep an eye out for in the entries that you can see entered up?
Oh, plenty. I mean, the decks on Sunday, what turns up in the hurdle race in Galway, Fury Road or Beacon Edge, whichever one of them pitches up, is a horse definitely worth watching. He had only accepted last Tuesday, I think it was, in Ferry House, who looked Tipperary even. He won a maiden hurdle in Ferry House, who looked really exciting. And obviously the disappointment there was Captain Guinness, who was reported to have a heart fibrillation after the race. So hopefully he'll overcome that. But they're starting to come, Tom. Every day there seems to be a new horse out. Maiden hurdlers, novice beginners chases, they're all getting better.
Yes, indeed.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Righto, we are going to get stuck into the weekend's action. And Frank, a quick word, just in case anyone tunes into the podcast very, very early. Anything today, Friday at Cheltenham to keep an eye out for? Or are you happy enough to just get stuck into
Saturday? No, I thought it was an interesting card price most, but I was really interested to see how Massey Fenn took the fences. To me, he looked like a chaser all out. Did okay over hurdles, won the Grade 2 Leamington lad. I like the look of him. In the 3 o'clock, I thought the bestie man had a fairy to a chance and an open looking handicap. He looked all set to win the Lanzarote last year when he tipped up at the last one, 3 lengths clear. I think he needed the reappearance run. I don't think he stays 3 miles either. I think the drop back to 2.5 and decent ground would suit him. And in the last race, looks quite competitive. One true King of Magic Dance are interesting, but Benny's Bridge is back off a year's absence. And he bolted up in this race last year. I think he's 8 or 9 higher, but he gets good ground again, which he really relishes. I think he'll be hard enough to beat in the 5.15.
Just a note of warning. Well, a note of warning on Massey Fenn. I think his 2 runs in Cheltenham were probably a little bit below what he achieved at Warwick, Aintree, and Munster, which are three tracks with really long flat home straights. Not dissimilar, all left-handed. But all have 3.5 furlong straights or longer. Whereas in Cheltenham, twice he got beaten up that stiff hill. Just, it might be nothing, but to me, it would be something I would be looking at from a rider's point of view.
Very good. A little watch out there. Righto, Saturday, let's get the show on the road. All Mankind tops the betting in the 2.05, which is the Masterson's Holdings hurdle. 6-4, All Mankind, of course, third in the Triumph. Stratagem next in 7-2. Botox has 7-2 as well, a high-class juvenile for Gary Moore, but has been out a good while, I think, from off the top of my head. Anna Bonina, 11-2, next in 8-1, Bar. Ruby, any opinion here?
Yeah, obviously All Mankind is rock solid. He was third in the Triumph, well, would have been fourth, but he's the horse that went with Goshen up on the front end. That's the way he likes to race. He likes to get on with things. But I am a Botox half fan. I thought he was really good in Cheltenham when I saw him last December. I know he was second All Mankind in November, but I thought Botox half improved when he went to Cheltenham in December and beat Langer Dan and Elysian Flame. He hasn't ran in a long time. And I suppose we're looking at stable form. Gary Moore is only 1 from 35 in the last fortnight, whereas Dan Skelton is 10 from 41. The percentages is 3% to 24% of a strike rate. Dan Jarre is definitely in form, but I think Botox Ha, maybe Saturday won't be his day, but I think he's a horse to follow for the season.
I would be with Botox Ha. I know what Ruby said about the trainer form, but he has a 4-pound swing for that 2.5 length defeat last year. And I just thought the way the race were, I know All Mankind really can tear off in the lead, but Nardano likes to press on as well. And it might just hopefully get him racing a little bit too far out. And I just thought Botox Ha was one that I thought would improve from, like, over the summer. He's a kind of horse I think can make a better 5-year-old and upwards. And I think he might be able to improve past All Mankind.
We're going with Botox Ha, are we? It's not Botox Has. Is it Botox Ha?
I have no idea.
Anyway, there we go. You learn something new every day. 2:40 Cheltenham on Saturday is the best odds at Matchbook Novices Chase. Southfield Stone tops the betting at 7-4 alongside Pylon. 11-4, Not That Fuise. And Cool Cody is the 12-1 outsider. Ruby looks between 3 of them out of the 4. What do you think of this one?
I really fancy Pylion.
Pylion or Pylon?
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there for the crack. obviously, it looks like Pylon, but I did think it was different. But anyway, we will see. I think the Martin Pike form is rock solid. Obviously, he was second in the race last season to Indefatigable. The third was Great White Shark. The fifth was the Boss's Oscar. I think the form is rock solid. Now, none of that form means he'll jump a fence, but he's just a horse I really liked, and I'd say Pylon, seeing as he's by Yates out of Heath Heaven, he's Irish bred. I'd say Pylon is the correct way of pronouncing that one.
Pylon, Frank, or Pylion?
I'm from West Cork. It has to be Pylon, doesn't it?
And just as long as I'm not on my own, I'm happy enough. Go on anyway.
I just echo what Ruby said. He's getting £5 off the other three. That Martin Pike looks rock solid for him. And I know the Nicholas horse was second in the group in a graded race last year, but I wouldn't rely on him either. Yeah, I think Pylon will take a bit of beating, hopefully.
Righto, 3:15 on Saturday at Cheltenham is the Pertemps Network Handicap Hurdle. It is a qualifier. It is. Watch out for what finishes sixth. Flink tops the betting at 6-1. To be fair, 13-2 next in alongside Honest Vic. Neville's Cross, 13-2 alongside I'd Better Go Now. 9-1 Champagne Court and 10-1 and Bigger the Rest. Frank, I can't remember who told me, but many, many years ago, somebody said an interesting way to look at these qualifiers is the bottom half of the weights need all to win to get into the final and the top half don't. Is that an interesting way to look at it?
Yeah, well, it's like, this is strange. I always have kind of like 1.37 is kind of the mark you'd want to be aiming for to get in. And there's only two horses with a mark above that. So you could say that most of them probably would need to win to be sure of getting a run. The one I came down on was Ballon on a Budget for Tom George, and was trained in Ireland, moved to him there 2 years ago. Very much unexposed over this trip. He's only run twice at 3 miles plus, and they were his last two starts. Relatively consistent as well for him. He rarely out of the frame. He was third Utoxer over just shy of 3 miles in August, and then at Newton Abbot over 3 miles, 2.5 furlongs the last day. I think he showed great stamina to run down Story of Friends late in the day that day. And he's only got on £5 for that. The ground should be good enough for him too. And I just thought the prices he was worth taking a chance on, just that he'd have a fitness edge over a lot of these. A lot of these haven't run yet this season and might count for something.
Ruby.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Frank. Flink obviously had a run in Chepstow in the Silver Trophy over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. That's not that long ago. He's come pulling out quick enough. Not certain about the trip for him. His one disappointing run was up at this trip. A lot of his form is better going a bit shorter. Honest Vic and a cracker in the Coral Cup. to finish fifth behind Dan de Campagna. To be fair, was sixth behind Liz Nagar Oscar in the Stairs Hurdle. There are some quality horses in here, there's no doubt about that. But I came down on the side of Neville's Cross. I just thought a five-year-old Robbie Power doing 10 stone four for Tom Lacey. I know it's, and it's proven at the trip, its last win in Uttoxeter was over Hereford was over 3 miles and won. Richard Johnson rode him that day, but I think he's an improving horse going the right way, and he'd be the one for me. Neville's Cross with a lightweight in his back.
Very sharp trainer as well. 350 Cheltenham matchbook. The matchbook betting exchange handicap chase. It would look the feature race of the day. Man of the Mountain, 9-2 favourite for Emma LaBelle and Adam Wedge. Cogri next in, 11-2. Good old Cogri. Feels like he's been around forever. Frodon tops the weights for Paul Nichols and Brian Ufrost. 6-1 third favourite alongside West Approach. Cobra de Mai, 13-2. 10-1 and bigger the rest. Ruby, will let you kick us off here. What do you like in the 350?
Loads of horses to like, Tom. Obviously, Frodon, he's up to 3 miles and one, but plenty of weight. Brian Ufrost, we know how popular a horse he is. West Approach loves it around here, especially over Francis. Was unlucky in this race last year before going back in November and getting an incredible ride from Robbie Power to win. Find that interesting that Robbie Power's at the meeting, but Harry Cobden rides this horse. Thought that was a little bit interesting. Clot Cap is a chance, but I think Cobra de Mai was fifth at the sixth of the Cheltenham Festival, behind the horse Brendan Powell rode in the handicap chase on the first day. The conditional had a disappointing run in Fontwell on the 2nd of October, but I think that might have just opened his pipes. He has a run under his belt, fitness on his side, and I think that run at the Cheltenham Festival behind the conditional will put him bang there.
Francis?
I liked Cloth Cap for John Joe. He was third in the Scottish National in 2019 off a mark of 134. Did the key to him's good ground. He never got his ground last year. It was soft all four runs. But in saying that, he wasn't disgraced in any start. Like, he finished third, a decent handicap at Ascot. Was beaten in a four-runner race at Doncaster. Oh, that really would have suited him. He was only beaten the neck by my old gold. Thought he ran a fair race in the Kim Muir as well, but he was eighth. He's off a mark of 138 here. That's fine. And as I said, the good ground is the key to him. John has had a few winners as well, which is always good when you're fans of one of his. So yeah, Claw Cat each way would be the one I'd look at here.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power.
Elsewhere on Saturday, we have high class flat racing and we have Group 1 action in France, as well as the Vertum Futurity Trophy up in Doncaster. Ruby, you wanted to make the point before we looked at Doncaster in detail that it would be worth keeping an eye on the action at Saint-Cloud.
I do. I think at 1:35, you have the Criterium International, which is a Group 1 for two-year-old colts and fillies. And I think how Van Gogh runs here, or Van Gogh, Tom, you, which are public school education, it's Van Gogh, is it?
Well, you've corrected me on pronunciation all day. So
it's Van Gogh, is it? I just think it's interesting how he runs. And that is, to me, will be reflective of One Ruler's form. Obviously, Van Gogh was second to One Ruler in Newmarket. He's going to run an hour and 20 minutes before One Ruler turns up in Ascot. So I think if you're into form and you want to have an idea what's going on, just keep an eye on the 1:35 in Saint-Cloud to give you a guide as to how strong One Ruler's form is.
Well, later on in the afternoon, 2:45, we will be heading up to Doncaster for the Vertum Futurity Trophy Stakes. Of course, ran on the all-weather at Newcastle last year, won by Kameko. 7-4 favourite this year is Wembley at One Ruler, as 5-2 next in King Vega, 11-2, 8-1. State of Rest, Magellan as 10s, Cove as 12s, 16-1 Barada and McSweeney, and 150-1 Bar. Frank, what about the Vertum Futurity?
Yeah, I think it's a decent race. I thought it was interesting, Aidan's running Wembley here. We were just talking beforehand. I just can't remember the last time he had one of his fancied horses coming from the Dewhurst to this race. But like, yeah, look, One Ruler won well at Newmarket the last day, but at the same time, Wembley, you just feel we haven't seen the best of him yet. Obviously, an eye catcher when second in the National Stakes. I thought he looked unlucky not to win the Dewhurst. Probably wasn't on the right side, etc. Ran on well. Just coming out of that, you kind of felt you'd want to be on his side next year more than St. Mark's Basilica. They seem to be pretty keen to get a Grade 1 win out of him as well as a juvenile. So even though he's favourite, you know, he's relatively short enough at, I think, about 7-4. Yeah, I think he'd be difficult enough to beat.
Ruby?
I'm going to go with Wembley. I thought the Dewhurst was an incredible race on paper, and I don't think it disappointed. All right, a couple of them may have looked a bit unlucky, the horses that were down under the stands rail, but St. Mark Basilica had a good draw. Wembley had to come from well off the pace. I think that's the strongest form. Aidan's running them again. Maybe it's coming quick enough, but I think the others have to get up to the level of form that he ran in the Dewhurst, and he'll do me.
We go down to Newbury, where there is also high-quality flat action. The highlight on the card there is at 4-10. It's the Pravha Stakes. Eucan Glen tops the betting at 5-2 alongside Raymond Tusk, 9-2. Aluinac and 5-1. Litigator, 8-1, and bigger the rest. Frank, anything you like at Newbury? Looks like it's going to be very, very heavy there.
Yeah, not in that race. I'll let Ruby deal with that, but I have one for the 3:35, all right.
Go on, you can give us your 3:35 selection while you're at it.
3:35, the Horace Hill, Group 3, 7 furlongs for two-year-olds. Look, the favourite's going to be Lancash for Roger Varian, second in a listed race at Doncaster, the Flying Scotsman. The race has worked out pretty well. If he handles heavy ground, he's going to be hard to beat. But at the same time, he's around the even money mark, and you'd want to take on a two-year-old having his third start in heavy ground unproven at. And I'm going to take him on with horse going to be a big price, Autumn Twilight for David Menuzier. Had his first UK Group 1 last weekend, I think, with Wonderful Tonight. This horse attracted a bit of support in his debut at Salisbury a few weeks ago, managed to win at 20-1, was conceding experience to most of the field that day. I thought he was valued for a bit further. Looking at his breeding, I'd be hopeful enough he'll handle the heavy ground. He's related to horses that were group and listed winners on soft, so he'd be pretty hopeful he'll handle it. And I thought it was eye-catching. Spencer was booked as well. I could just see him being ridden quietly enough to pick it up late.
Autumn Twilight, the watch out Frank Hickey red alert horse in the 3:35 at Newbury. Ruby, anything for you in the Pravha Stakes or elsewhere at Newbury?
I was listening to somebody earlier on today making a very strong case for Raymond Tusk, with Jamie Spencer riding for Richard Hannan, booked out to make all in Wolverhampton on his last start. That didn't work out for him over 2 miles, dropping back a half a mile in trip. Maybe with a change of tactics with Jamie Spencer on board. I know he's favourite, but if they change the tactics and ride him for speed rather than stamina, I think Raymond Tusk could be the one.
That is Saturday in a nutshell, but we are not finished yet. We have high quality racing again on Sunday, and we head up to Aintree at 1:57. The feature race on the card is the Old Roan, and Itchy Feet for Ollie Murphy tops the betting at 3-1. Midnight Shadow 6-1 next in alongside Clondalk Castle and Old Grange Wood. Magic Saint 7s, Annie Mac 10s, 14-1 Creve Hill, Imperial Presence and Vision Day Flow 16-1 and bigger the rest. Frank, this is a good race.
Very good race. Tricky to know which horses are going to be fully wound up and etc. I'm just going to stick with Itchy Feet. Priced this up on Monday. I just felt he was the one horse that could be really well ahead of his mark. Like last year, he only had the 3 starts over fences, won a nothing race in Leicester very easily, was pitched straight into a grade 1, the City Isles of Sandown. And again, he won that very easily as well, beating Midnight Shadow, who runs here and is getting £5 off him. But he was a 7-2 shot for the Marsh at Cheltenham and unseated at the 6th fence. Off a mark of 154, I do think he's the possibility to make up into a horse that maybe is not good enough to win a Ryanair, but Jeff, you want to compete in a race like that. And yeah, he'd be the one I'd stick with here.
Ruby?
I know from working for him, it's a race that Paul Nicholls always targets, and Magic Saint is the one he's come down on. Harry Cobden riding won well at Newbury last at the Hennessy meeting last year. It was a bit disappointing then behind Old Grange Wood at Cheltenham. It's his first run back. He does look like a horse that does run well enough fresh. I wouldn't put anybody off him. And the same for Old Grange Wood. Harry and Dan Skelton seem to be in pretty similar form to Harry Cobden and Paul Nicholls. And I'd be going with either or those, Old Grange Wood or Magic Saint. But as Frank has rightly pointed out, Itchy Feet could be the fly in the ointment.
Very good. Racing in Galway as well. We've had a lot of rain west of the Shannon over the last few days, so Galway could come up quite heavy come Sunday. I think we're due more rain today and tomorrow in Ireland as well. Grade three, only four runners at 3 o'clock. But anything there for you, lads? I've been really looking forward
to Beacon Edge.
Beacon Edge.
Yeah, Beacon Edge. I mean, he's been an on-runner twice now, but Beacon Edge for me, his form with Jason the Militant looks rock solid, and Beacon Edge for me.
Frank, anything in Galway for you?
Yeah, no, it's a cracking little race. Like, obviously, Luna Melody went off favour for the Mayor's Novice last year, and that Grand Wah is after moving to Gordon from Nicky Henderson. The two hurdles races, the one now, weren't up to much, really, but yeah, probably Beacon Edge the solid one. Like, even you've Jason the Militant and the form with Cedarwood Road. They're two very decent runs, and yeah, he's probably the solid one.
There's a good maiden hurdle, Mayor's maiden hurdle on the card. Carrageen Lotus was one of mine to follow for the season. I think she's going to be an absolute belter over hurdles.
You're listening to From the Horse's Mouth by Paddy Power. Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
We've got Group 1 action on Sunday in Longchamp as well, and Princess Zoe is back for another crack at the top level. Frank, compare this to the Cadran. Are we talking similar level in terms of opposition here?
I suppose the one Valia, the three-year-old, won the pre-Chardonnay on Arc weekend over just short of 2 miles on heavy ground. So she's the one we don't really know about. Look, 20 miles, I think she'd have won the Arc. It'll be fascinating to see how she gets on when she's like pitched up into that sort of race. Or, but yeah, look, hopefully for connections, I'd like to see her win again. I think it's a great story. And you just love the reaction and how much it meant to Tony Mullins when he won it. Like, yeah, I'd love to see her do it again.
Ruby, in real terms, from 2 mile 4 last time back to 1 mile 7, is that a big change for her, or is she well able for a change of that kind of caliber?
Oh, she's well able for it. She's 1.5 miles winner at the Curragh and at she won over 1.5 miles, but and in Galway, her second win in Galway was 1.5 miles. She obviously won over 2 miles in Galway as well. But no, my only worry, Tom, would be going to France 22 days ago and having to come home for horses. That's a 2-day trip. Ireland to the UK, overnight in the UK and on to France, and the same coming home. So she'd have left France, Longchamp, probably the morning after she ran, travelled Monday to the middle of England and then home by Wednesday. So whichever way she did it, it's a 2-day trip, and to turn her around after having such a hard race and go back within 3 weeks, that could be the bigger issue for me. Look, jump horses have done it in the past, but that'd be my one concern, that she mightn't just be at her best having had such a hard race and having to do the amount of travelling she's done.
Well, Shamie Heffernan takes over from a suspended Joey Sheridan, but we wish them all the best. Righto, time for best bets of the weekend. Frank Hickey, we'll start with you. What is the one? What is the single one? If you want to back one winner all weekend, what's it going to be?
Hoping it's the 1:45 Doncaster 6 furlong listed race there, and the horse called Just Frank. Not picking it for sentimental reasons at all. This horse ran away with the valuable sales race at Newmarket at the start of the month, winning by 4.5 lengths. I think the right horses in the main followed him home that day, so I think the form is pretty solid. And the figures, he needs to improve again a bit, but like, he's up against Lipizzanzer. He's only won once from 6 starts. Did run well when second in Group 3 at the Curragh the last day. And you've got Zamani, who was second in the Red Car Trophy last time out. They're the two he needs to improve to reach their level. But I did think he ran it caught on the ground at Newmarket, and he the race won over furling out. He could just be improving enormously. And Just Frank, Doncaster 1:45.
Just Frank for Just Frank. Ruby, best bet of the weekend?
I think it could be in Galway at 2:47 on Saturday in the Sanserve Rated Novice Chase. I thought Tiger Voice was coming to beat Jack Hackett and Puncher Sam when he fell. He is a Galway winner in the past. So I think Tiger Voice at 2:47 on Saturday. And if he misses, Beacon Edge at 3 o'clock on Sunday in Galway.
Very good. Frank, you'll stick those up on the site for us and give them an old enhancement. Before we finish up, a few quick questions. Jim Dudley asks, will Colin Keane get the Ballyjoyle job, or is it even available? Of course, the winds of change, or at least the rumours about winds of change blowing down in Ballyjoyle, are blowing quite strong at the minute. Frank, your colleagues in the trading room price up Colin Keane as the 1-6 favourite to be the retained rider at Ballyjoyle in 2021. Are we assuming that there's high quality information in circulation that this is a done deal, or what's the story?
No, I don't know. I think I would be involved in pricing something like that, but I imagine thinking would be with the coronavirus restrictions, etc. We don't know how long they're going to last for. Ryan Moore maybe might be riding a little bit less for Coolmore or for Ballydoyle as he used to maybe. Colin Keane's obviously been riding a few of them recently. He's looking like he's going to be champion jockey for a second time. I think people are joining the dots and guessing a bit, but yeah. I don't have a strong opinion. I don't know anything.
Ruby, can you draw any sort of conclusions from what we're seeing at the races? Colin being booked a good bit for Aidan and the Coolmore team. Is this a done deal?
I don't think so. I think but not unless Shamey Heffernan is going to retire or something, because I can't see them replacing, if the coronavirus is going to stay the way it is and restrictions are going to stay the way they are, I would imagine Shamey Heffernan will just stay riding the horses in Ireland, and that'll leave Ryan Moore in the UK. I don't see a change coming. Maybe I'm naive or sound asleep. I wasn't even aware that there was a market that had Colin Keane as 1-6 favourite, but I think Colin Keane got on horses when Shamey was suspended. And when Shamey came back, it looked to me like he was riding them. Now, maybe I'm only been half looking at it, but that's the way I saw it. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if Pierre Charles Boudot rode more of them in France, Ryan rode them in England, and Shamey rode them in Ireland. But I don't see that big a change coming.
Interesting. Righto. Chris King asks, could you ask Ruby why Willie seems to keep his horses in Ireland in the early part of the season rather than go to the likes of Cheltenham this weekend?
Well, this weekend, prize money. Prize money is more substantial in Ireland, and the prize money adds up to Winnie Mullins being champion trainer in Ireland. So prize money would be the reason. And when you travel early in the year, maybe with summer horses that would be fit enough to take the trip and the race. Obviously, Gordon is running Galvin there, but Galvin's been running through the summer, so he is a good bit fitter than horses who will be having their first run. But I would say prize money at this time of the year, there's races to be won in Ireland worth more than there is in the UK.
Simple as a simple does, righto. Any plans for the weekend, Ruby? You're flat out gardening probably or something. Are you getting the garden ready for the winter now at the minute?
No, Tom, it's too wet for gardening. I thought you being a farmer would understand that you shouldn't be on the grass.
You just like gardening and raking and
I was actually putting down a bit a yard, so I'm going to sit on a roller now and drive in a bit of gravel for the afternoon.
And Frank, you're strolling the streets of Cluny just with a forlorn look on your face, are you, for the weekend?
I'm actually off for 9 days from work now as of this evening, so I've been sick all week, so I'm just going to take it handy for a day or two, and it's not the coronavirus, before I ask, just a chest infection or something, I think.
The negative test is confirmed.
It is confirmed. I did get tested just to be safe. Wouldn't want to put anyone at risk. But yeah, no, not corona.
Good man, righto.
What about you, Tom? We never asked you what your plan is.
I am going to, would you believe, a wedding this afternoon.
You and 24 others, I hope.
I'm one of myself and 24 others. So it could be, we could get to know each other fairly well by the end of the evening.
Not so bad.
But yeah. So that's my plans for the weekend. And then I'll feel sorry for myself on Saturday and Sunday. But that's it, lads. Thanks a million. And we'll talk to you next week.
Bye bye.
Good luck, lads.
Righto, that's all we've got time for on today's show. My thanks to Frank and Ruby, as always, and of course, thanks to you for listening. Make sure to check out all the latest odds and offers on paddypower.com. But for now, I've been Tom Nugent, and that has been From the Horse's Mouth.
From the Horse's Mouth is a Muddy Knees Media production for Paddy Power.